Well, hello, church. My name is Miguel. I'm one of the pastors here. Thanks for being here. And if you're watching online, we're so excited that you've joined us today. Today, Pastor Dan is going to be giving the message, and he's going to really focus his a big idea from a passage of Scripture that I want to read to you. It's in Luke chapter 9. Here's what it says. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." He said to another person, "Come, follow me." The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you. But first let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God."
So all those verses can be summed up in three words. That is, seize the day. Seize the day. When Jesus comes calling in your life, it is a very high and unique and powerful calling. And the truth is that you have to seize the day. There's no turning back. There's no waiting. There's no excuses. And every one of those people had one thing in common. They had an excuse. "I can't do it today, God. Can't do it today because I've got to do this or I've got to do that." So the point of that passage is that you and I are called to seize the day. Seize the day. Say that with me. Seize the day. So when you understand that, you walk through every door that God opens and you don't hesitate because God doesn't linger long. He does not linger long. He doesn't wait long. So you and I have to learn the disciplines in our life of moving when God moves, of stepping into what God is doing, and it is a really powerful way to live. And I just want to say that most of us don't live that way. And the reason being is that most of us are living our lives based upon what we used to be or what we've done in our life in the past or some hang up or some issue from the past. And I just want you to listen to this next statement. I can't start the next chapter of my life if I keep rereading the last one. Let me say that to you again. I cannot start the next chapter of my life if I am rereading the last one. So the truth is that what God wants you to do, it's an amazing thing. So what the truth is that what God wants you to do is God wants you to do what's next. We've talked about that in the past. This is the last of the series. This is the last one of habits. And so what we want to do is we're going to remind you of some things. We're going to introduce some new thoughts. And hopefully you'll walk out of here with the idea that I have to, with all of my heart, seize the opportunities, seize the day that God has presented before me. So that means that I have to make three choices. If I'm going to seize the day, I have to make three choices in my life on a regular, habitual basis. Not one time, not like this is a one-time decision. It is an every morning, every day decision that I've got to live my life with these three choices. First of all, I make the choice, and Miguel's going to talk about this next weekend a little bit, so I'm not going to linger long here, but I want to just introduce the concept. I have to move on from the past, both positively and negatively. I have to move on from the past. I can't keep reading the last chapter. I've got to recognize that God has something next for me to do. And I've got to seize the day for that opportunity. So I have to move on from the past. Paul put it this way. He says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." So Paul says, I forget the past, I move on to the present. And I'm just saying that is such an important piece because I run into people all the time that want to talk about what they've done in the past, not what they're doing in the present. And that is a mistake. That's a mistake. You know, I think about Grace Church, and we had this vision to plant it in 1990, and we started meeting at Lawler Event Center. And I'm telling you, it was amazing. It was amazing those days. Every year, our attendance doubled when we were in the Lawler Events days. Then we moved out on this property in 1996, and built this building over here, to my right, to your left, and you know the current family center, and that was our worship center. And we just continued this growth pattern. And then we built this auditorium and moved in a hit into this building. And then we moved in, or we built the building across the way at the kids' center. But here's the thing. We can look at what we've done and say, you know what, that's great, that's awesome, look what we have accomplished, but that's not how God works. We forget what is behind us, and we press on to what is next for what God wants us to do. And that's how, not only how a church should live, it's how you and I as individual believers should live our lives and every day. And to do that, we cannot linger in the past. It's a rearview mirror, but that's all it is. It's not the windshield. We look for what God has next for us. So I read a story about a woman. Her name was Jill Price, and she had the ability to recall every detail of her life from the age of 14. She had a particular syndrome that University of Southern California studied for about 6 years. And literally, every particular thing that had ever come into her mind, she could recall it verbatim. I mean, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking, man, wouldn't that be great, right? I mean, part of it would be great. I would never have to study for a test, right? You know, I just walk in and say, you know, I've heard this before. Just write it down, you know, verbatim of what I've heard. I mean, there would be so many benefits, but there's also a curse with it too, right? Every wrong thing that you would ever have done would replay in your mind over and over and over again. Everything that is said to you from a negative perspective would be replayed over and over and over again in your mind. In fact, when she was interviewed, the bottom line is this particular syndrome paralyzed her. She couldn't sleep at night. She was restless. It was a horrible curse in her life. And so what I want to say to you, it is a grace from God that you and I are able to forget. It's a grace from God that you and I are able to forget. And for you and I to move on, we have to forget what's in the past, and we have to press on to the high mark and calling of Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, Miguel's going to unpack that next week, so just come back next weekend and let's learn more about that. The second choice that I have to make is that I have to make the choice to move on from old patterns. If I am going to seize the day, if that's my calling, I've got to forget the past, and I have to forget the old patterns. I have to move on from the old patterns that are in my life, that thinking system that was really destructive in my life from the past. I've got to deal with it. So Paul writes to the Galatians, and he says, those who belong to Christ, I hope that's you. I pray that's you. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross. So the goal, this is my responsibility. God's responsibility was when he died for me was to provide the way of redemption, to provide the way of the Holy Spirit. All that is awesome. It's amazing. My responsibility is to take my passions and consider myself dead to them. The cross represents death. So that thinking pattern that you have in your life, how you seize the day is you learn that thinking pattern isn't helping you. And what are the thinking patterns that are in our life? Things like greed and jealousy and adultery and you know, all those things that the scripture names as things that for which Christ died, all those things come into, if we're truthful, all those things come into our mind on a regular basis, right? Come on now. All those things, doubt and fear and all those things are things that come into our life that control us. And what the Bible says here, what Paul says is that you and I are to reckon ourselves to be dead to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are to nail the passions that go on inside of our life, these passions that pull us away from God. We are to nail them to the cross every day. And it's such a powerful concept. And then it says, the reason we do this, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So if I'm going to seize the day, I can't accept that old pattern of thinking inside of my life, of doubt and fear and sin. All those things are things that cripple me in moving forward with Jesus Christ. Do you all get that? So you have to come at Christianity from a very aggressive nature. You have to come at it with the idea that what Christ wants for me is not just a little bit. What Christ wants for me, might be news for some of you, but what Christ wants for me is everything I have. No in between. It's not, I'll give you a little bit, God. What Christ wants for me in exchange for eternal life, what God would expect me to do is consider myself dead to sin and alive unto him, and to live my life every day with his goal, with his passion, with his purposes in my life. And so Christ says, give it all. That's what he said in the passage that Miguel read. Give it all. It's time to seize the day. It's time to move on. It's time to grab what God has for your life. That's the message of the New Testament. So C.S. Lewis, he's an old dead guy that I quoted last week. He says it this way, and you'll understand how C.S. Lewis is quoting. He's quoting as if he's Christ. So this is C.S. Lewis's writing. He's writing on behalf of Christ, and this is what he says. I have not come to torment your natural self. That's speaking of Christ. But to kill it. I've not come to torment your natural self. Christ came to kill your natural self. No half measures are good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there. I want to have the whole tree down. So the truth is the reason that Christianity doesn't work for many of you is because you're just trying to let him have a branch or two and not the whole tree. So if I'm ever going to seize the day, I have to forget what's behind me, and I have to control the passions and the desires in my life by nailing them to the cross, by as soon as they come into my head, to nail them there. The third choice that I have to make if I'm going to seize the day is that I have to face down my fear in my life. I have to face down the fear in my life. And when I talk about fear, I'm not talking about like the fear of spiders, you know, or the fear of snakes or the fear of heights or, you know, all those kinds of fears. Everybody has those kind of fears, you know, and, you know, I don't like heights. That's just who I am. But the truth is that that's not the kind of fear that Paul is talking about here. That's not the kind of fear that I need to have. In 2 Timothy 1:7, this is what it says. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and self-discipline. What kind of fear is Paul speaking of to Timothy? He's talking about the fear of men. Listen to me very carefully. Don't miss this. So the question is that I have to face up to is, do I fear people and people's opinions more than I fear God? So let's just take a little quiz. Just to see, just because we're good at deceiving ourselves. See, you can be sitting out there going, you know, I fear God more than I fear people. Well, let's just take a little quiz to see how you're doing at it, okay? Is that fair? So has anybody gone, you know, you're sitting someplace, you know, just minding your own business, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of a conversation. You don't mean to be in the middle of the conversation. Time out. You're just shopping. You're just at work. You're just, you know, doing, you know, you're just walking down the street. You're somewhere, and all of a sudden there is something going on, and your heart starts racing. And there's this thing that's prompting you inside. There's this thing that you don't know where it's coming from. It's just saying, hey, speak into this. Say something for me. And, of course, we know, as in retrospect, that's the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. How many of you, and I'm going to raise my hand right now, how many of you have had that happen in your life and just chosen to opt out? Come on now. You know why we opt out? We opt out because at that moment in time, we are fearing what someone might think of us rather than fearing God himself. Is that right? So the truth is that I have to face my, I got to be real with that. I've got to face my fears and realize that that is not appropriate, that I've got to fear God more than anything else inside of my life. And when I have that kind of faith in my life, then the truth is that I'm really free. That produces a freedom in my life that is unprecedented in any other place. When I stop fearing what others think of me and start thinking about what God thinks about me, I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world, in my life, of how I live, of what kind of joy I have, of what I can do, of what I can't do. In fact is some of you don't do great things for God because someone in your life somewhere said something to you that just discouraged you. And you chose to believe them outside of believing God. Because God's word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. So if I'm going to seize the day, I've got to develop those three habits in my life, I've got to answer those three things. And then I have to have some habits to get to that point where I really am effective to be able to love God more than anything else in the world and not fear men. There are three habits that I have to have every day, and these are habits that aren't just, I just don't do once in a while. These are daily habits. And the first habit that I have to have in my life is every day I have to draw close to God. I have to draw close to God. And you say, well, that's a no-brainer, Pastor Dan. I do that all the time. And so let me see if I can script an average day for the average person who attends Grace Church on Sunday mornings, okay? So I don't mean to offend anybody here. I'm just going to see if this resonates with you. So you get up, alarm clock goes off, you're really tired, you hit the alarm clock or your cell phone, you know, for 15 more minutes, you're late, you know, so the bottom line is that you had planned to read something in Scripture that morning, but you just, you know, I got to get to work, right? So you jump in the car and you drive to work and you work all day long and normally not even a thought of God happens inside your mind during that time. You're just focused on your work and then you come home at night and you're exhausted and your husband or your wife or your, you know, somebody wakes you up because you fell asleep watching Netflix. And you go to bed thinking, I've got to do better than this. And then the next morning, the same thing happens over and over and over again. And I'm just saying, you know what? Listen to me carefully. Does that resonate with anybody here? Is that what happens in your lives? Come on now. Come on now. That's what happens to us. And as a result of not growing close to God, we lose the benefits of the closeness of God. And so I don't know, and I'm risking offending you, but I don't fear you, so here we go. So here we go. I'd rather offend you than God, right? So here we go. I think, this is just me, I think it would be better to be late to work than to be late with God. Don't you think? Don't you think that should be a change along the way that you begin to realize that there's a different pattern in your life and maybe the reason you're so messed up is because you have the wrong habits in your life, and if you had just changed the right habits, what would happen is that right character would be developed in your life, and that right character would really begin to work in your life in a very powerful way. So I draw close to God. That's the first habit. James 4:8 says, and I'm just going to warn you, this is a verse that is going to be a little rough for us to swallow. James 4:8 says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Amen. That's great, isn't it? And then it says, wash your hands, you sinners. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to us. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Oh, gosh. I would just be popular if God wouldn't ask me to read these verses and say, that's you all and me all. We sometimes get our loyalty is split. So the truth is the reason it's split is because I don't have the habit in my life of every day drawing close to God. So that's the first habit I have to have. And then the second habit is I have to pursue God's purpose in my life with all of my soul. That's a big, daunting thing, pursuing God's purpose for your life. So what does that mean, to pursue God's purposes in your life, or a purpose in your life? Well, Proverbs 3:5-6 says it means you trust in him with all of your heart. You don't figure it out. You just lean on it unto his understanding, and he will direct your steps. That's what Proverbs 3:5-6 says, paraphrased. I don't trust in myself. I trust in him, and I let him direct my steps. So here is what I've discovered. Living on purpose is as simple as narrowing your focus. Living on purpose is as simple as narrowing your focus. So let me see if I can help you understand that. Perhaps the greatest example of this is Billy Graham. Anybody ever heard of Billy Graham? Anybody not hear of Billy Graham? Okay, let me put it that way. So Billy Graham was probably one of the most focused individuals I've ever had the opportunity to hear, listen to. He was very focused. He lived out the purposes of God. And so every time, you know, he was on television a lot, and oftentimes when he would come to a town, the local television stations would want to interview him. So he would always agree to it because everywhere he went, he wanted to exalt Jesus. So he always agreed to an interview. And so if you know anything about a television interview, what they do is that they put a lapel mic on you somewhere hidden, and then they do a volume check so that you're not killing your hearers with the sound and that the levels are right. And so normally when people get a sound check for television, they will do things like the ABCs, or 1, 2, 3, or things like check, 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 check. Billy Graham, every time he did an interview on television, did the exact same thing. And this is what it was. he would say, they would say, okay, we're going to do your sound check. And he would say this, he would say, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Every time, no exceptions, that's how Billy Graham would sound check. And so somewhere along the way, a cameraman or somebody on a crew asked him a question. And he said, and the question was, so Billy, why is it that you do the same sound check? Somebody figured out a pattern, and they figured out that that's what he was doing. And so they asked him, so why is it that you do that? Why do you quote John 3:16? And this is what Billy Graham said. Billy Graham said, the reason I quote John 3:16 is because I might mess the interview up, and I at least want the cameraman to know the gospel. That's what Billy Graham said. That's narrowing your focus. Living on purpose is about narrowing your focus down to a place where you can be good at just what God wants you to be. So the third habit, not only do I narrow my focus so I can live out God's purposes, the third habit is that I need to join God in what he is doing. I've got to join God in what he is doing. And that's where many of us fall down. Because what we want God to do is join us in what we are doing. Right? You hear me? Do you hear me on that? And what I'm telling you is this. God is not interested in joining you. He's invited you to join him. And that, my friend, is such an ultimate privilege inside of our lives. And according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says that God has created us, saved us, for the purposes of some particular works that he has in mind for us. So when I narrow my purpose, my focus, so I live out his purposes, and I join what God is doing, I then discover what those works that he has for me. And I'm telling you, there's no greater joy in knowing in life that you are living out God's purposes for your life and that you're joining him in his work. So to join God in what he is doing, you have to come to a place in your life that you stop looking back and you just look forward. So I want to end our time together with this thought. When a space shuttle is launched into space, there is a phrase that is used inside the launch tower. And this is what it is. It is, you'll hear this phrase all the time. If you've ever watched any of the movies, you'll see it. If you watch Apollo 13, you watch any of the movies, you'll hear him say it. It is two words. It is negative return. So they launch, and there's a point when whoever's in control of the launch says negative return. And what does he mean by that, or she mean by that? It means that this is it. They've gone too far. They can't abort the mission. There is no way to turn back. There's too much thrust. Now you're launched into, you're, like it or not, you're going into outer space. That's what it means. Negative return. And according to NASA, when that happens, then those on board know, they know in their heart that they're now astronauts. Up until that time, they're just pilots. But when they hear negative return, they now know that they are an astronaut. So here's what I want you to see. There comes a time in everybody's life, in every Christian's life, where you have to make the decision about negative return. You have to make that decision about negative return. There has to come a point in your life where you say, I'm not turning back. I'm not turning back. I'm moving forward. For many today, the first step of that journey, and there'll be many steps, by the way, there'll be many times in your life where you really have to declare negative return in your life. But the first step is baptism. That's the first step. So the people that are going to come forward in just a few minutes, and we're going to get the great privilege of watching them get baptized, for them, I'm telling you the truth, for them, this is a point where they come out and they publicly, in spite of what their friends say, in spite of what their families think, in spite of whoever's there, whoever's here, in spite of what you think about them, they're saying, I confess that Jesus Christ is my Savior. There is no returning. There's no turning back. That's what they're saying. Amen? And you and I You and I get the amazing privilege of witnessing that. But you know what? Along the journey, there's many times in our life where we're called to this negative return. So you have to make decisions along the way of what that is. Baptism is the first step. And by the way, if you want to make that step here today, if you want to get baptized and you didn't sign up, we've got a plan for you. We're going to sing a couple songs at the end, and there'll be time for you to go to the back. We have got clothes for you to change into. We've provided it all. You can come forward and you can get baptized today. If you feel that God's tugging on your heart and saying to you, no, there's no turning back. I've confessed Christ and there's no turning back, and this is something that I want to do. And I want to proclaim. But also along the way, let me just speak to those that aren't getting baptized. Maybe you got baptized 50 years ago. That's awesome. There's also some things along the way that you've got to declare. You know, for example, you come to a place in your life when you realize that God calls you to generosity. He calls you to a place in your life where there's no turning back. You've got to be generous. You can't live for yourself anymore. You have to live for the sake of God and for others. There comes a place in all of our lives where that happens. And I'm asking you, have you declared that for your life? No return? I'm going to stop living for myself, and I'm going to start living for the sake of the gospel and for others. And generosity is going to be a part of my life. Have you come to the place in your life where you've recognized that even though I might have been baptized, I find sometimes that I care more about what other people think than what God thinks? Maybe you need to declare and draw a line in the sand today and say, negative return. I'm not going back to that kind of a lifestyle. I'm not going to worry about anymore whether somebody likes me or doesn't like me, accepts me or doesn't accept me. I'm going to start running for the praise of Jesus. I'm just going to start running for Him and walking in this life for Him, because I'm telling you, there's no greater joy in life than running for the praise of the one who bought you with His own blood. That is such a great, great, awesome opportunity. So I guess what I'm saying here today is I invited all my friends today. You happen to be in my friends list. I invited all my friends here today just simply to say, it's time for you to draw a line in the sand and say, negative return. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. And you fill in for whatever that is. I don't know what it might be, but I know that everyone here probably needs to draw that line in the sand and make a declaration to Christ and say, from this day forward, it's negative return. I'm not going back. I'm going to live for the sake of the King. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this great, great truth. And I pray, God, that Your Spirit will work in a very powerful way. Now, I want to just give you one more thing. As I'm thinking about it, just look up here at me for just one second. I want to put one more thought in your head before you leave here today, before I leave and can't say anything more to you. I can't go back and change the beginning of anything that I've ever done, but I can start where I am and change the ending. Say that one more time to you. Yeah, amen. I can't change the beginning, but I can change the ending. And it's all up to me. Well, that's that line. God, may that be true in our lives. In Jesus' holy and powerful and awesome name, amen.